When we introduce a new book to study, and especially if it was penned by the Apostle Paul, we always go to some degree of discussion to show that not everyone agrees on a Pauline authorship of every book that we know Paul wrote in the New Testament. And the reason that there is this debate is because the Apostle Paul, more than Peter and James and Jude and any other penman combined, the reason the Pauline penmanship is brought into question is because Paul has a very distinct vocabulary in usage. And if this scholar over here doesn't see that distinction in the vocabulary, he says, oh, well, Paul could not have written that book. But he did. Where Paul might say Jesus or he might say Christ, more often than not, he calls Jesus Christ Jesus. And that's very unique. If you read that phraseology, I believe in the entire New Testament, it's going to be the writing of the Apostle Paul. However, when he's talking about your and my responsibility to Christ Jesus, sometimes, I wasn't going to say more often than not, but sometimes he introduces it in a softened way. My beloved brethren. In fact, you might as well go ahead and memorize 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're going to use it probably a half a dozen times tonight, and you ought to remember that verse every day of your life. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, your effort, your work is not in vain in the Lord. Now, what Paul is saying, among other things, is the work of the Lord, the work of Christ Jesus, is for everyone. You know, it's not just for elders. We're praying for the day that we will have elders again in this congregation. And though they do need to be the example of work, 1 Peter 5 verse 3, we don't take all of these work efforts and just put them on their desk over here. Or deacons, just because the word deacon in the Greek language means one who serves or one who works. And I'm taking Acts 6 a little liberty there, but those men there were workers. We don't take all of these efforts, all of this work, and just pile it on the deacon's desk over here. And please don't think that the preacher is supposed to do all the work. The preacher does have work to do, 2 Timothy 2:15, 1 Timothy 4 verse 5. But what Paul is saying here is all of us have work to do. If we're part of the family of Christ Jesus, then we have work to do. Now, some of you might be thinking, why in the world is Shan bringing this up on a Sunday night? I mean, we had more people here this morning than we do tonight. Why is he bringing this up on a Sunday night? Because, brethren, the people who are going to do the work are here on a Sunday night. I mean, that's a little aggressive, but it's also the truth. In Matthew chapter 25, and always remember when you're studying a parable, remember whether it was spoken by Jesus at the beginning of his ministry or toward the end of his ministry. The parable of the talents falls toward the end of Jesus' ministry. And we know that parable very, very well. A rich man went off to a far country and left portions of his wealth to three of his servants, three of his stewards. To one he gave 5 units of wealth, to one he gave 2 units of wealth, to one he gave 1 unit of wealth. And then he left, and when he came back, he called each of them to make sure that they had used the units of wealth to which he had given them. And we know that the teaching has nothing to do with wealth. It has to do with our ability. Brethren, some of us have more ability. Some of us have less ability. But I want to be real personal now. And after 16 years, I can do that. There is not a person in this congregation, in this audience. There is not a person in this audience that's even just a one talent person. Everyone here tonight is a 2 or 5 talent Christian. I've been looking around. I know what I'm talking about. Now, some of you have not discovered your ability as of yet. And we're going to help you do that. But trust me, everyone here tonight is above a one-talent individual. And even if I am that one-talent individual, I can't go and hide my talent. I have to use what the Lord has given. And brethren, there's always work to do. No exceptions. There's always work for us to do. I just cannot begin to imagine Paul or Barnabas or Dorcas sitting around twiddling their fingers saying, I just can't find anything around the church to do. I just can't see that. They found what needed to be done. They didn't have to ask. There's always things that need to be done. And they did that. All right, that's our first point, the universal nature of work. Now let's look at the basic requirements of work. When the internet first began, I tried for the life of me not to become involved in the internet whatsoever. It's almost an impossibility. Today, I do most of my study on the internet. I do all of my communication and so forth. Well, I took this phrase, basic requirement of work, and I Googled that. And I didn't get a response at all. I got 127,000 places that I could go, but I didn't get a single adequate response. But as I was kind of scanning through those responses, there was a word that two or three times it almost jumped off the page. The word was conviction. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take the word conviction. I'm going to look in a Bible dictionary and see what the definition of conviction is. And this is what I found. Now remember, this is a Bible dictionary. Conviction involves steadfastness and immovability, which are necessary for the Lord's work. Did you hear what he said? Steadfastness and immovability. That guy just plagiarized Paul. And probably going to get away with it. That's what Paul said. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, we recently studied 1 and 2 Corinthians, and though I admit it was an enjoyable study, it's a difficult study. We probably should have finished 1 and 2 Corinthians and then started over with 1 Corinthians again. Very difficult study, but it's a very useful study because it seems that the Christians in Corinth had a lot of the same or similar problems that we have today. Maybe not in specifics, but in generically, they had the same problems. A lot of them had their personal doubts. And brethren, I do. I look at our nation. I look at our upcoming potential leadership. And I have all kinds of doubts for the future and for my children's future and my grandchildren's future. And I think Corinth had all kinds of doubts about the future as well. And they missed the concept of things like eating meat offered to idols and how a woman should or should not wear a veil upon her head. And they had all kinds of misconceptions about the Lord's Supper and spiritual gifts. And yet, right in the midst of all of this confusion and doubt, Paul said, be steadfast, be immovable, be abounding in the work of the Lord. Brethren, that's conviction. Be convicted, be ready to serve the Lord. That's what Paul was also talking about to Timothy when he said, in season, out of season. We need to be ready all the time. We need to have that conviction so that we're ready to work for the Lord. Now, this word steadfast, the Greek word that is translated in this text, steadfast, is also translated in Philippians 1, verse 27, with a different English word. In fact, this time it's an English phrase. In 1 Corinthians 15, the word is steadfast, but in Philippians 1, 27, it is stand fast. Stand fast in the faith. Now, brethren, our interest is to develop a relationship with God. Our interest is to develop that relationship based on the fact that we love Him and we appreciate so much what He did for us, what His Son did for us, what the Spirit did for us by bringing us the New Testament. And we want to make sure that relationship is intact on the day we die, on the day Jesus comes again. We want to have strong faith. That verse I use so often in invitation. We want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful, filled with faith, Christian." That's the word we want to hear. But it's going to take dedication. And dedication is going to lead us to do the efforts that need to be done. Not just talking, though we need to talk about it. Not just thinking, but we need to think about it. Not just singing about it, but putting our sleeves rolled up and doing what we need to do. Conviction. Like James says in James 2:18, a man may say, "I have faith, you have works." You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith through my works or by my works. And that brings us to the last point in the lesson tonight, the nature of work. I was reading an article several weeks now. I made myself a little 3x5 note of it. And this particular man wrote an article saying that Christianity is a religion of always. And his play on words was on the word always. And he mentioned several places where the word always is mentioned. Colossians 4:6, always let your speech be seasoned with salt. Philippians 4:4, always rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 2:12, always obey. 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an answer. I mentioned 2 Timothy 4. We need to be always ready in season and out of season. And then the final point in his article dealt with one of the most gracious and loving things that Jesus ever said. I'll be with you always, even to the very end. Matthew 28, verse 20. Now, similar to the word always is the phrase all the time. To rejoice in the Lord always means to rejoice in the Lord all the time. When Jesus said, "I'll be with you always," he could have said, "I'll be with you all the time." Now, let's give a summation of our lesson tonight. Brethren, abounding in the work of the Lord means we're working all the time. When we retire, we still work for the Lord. When we're young, we still work for the Lord. When we're trying to build our businesses up, we still work for the Lord. When we're in school and we have to study for a test tomorrow, we still work for the Lord. Always, all the time. That's how often we need to work for the Lord. And so the challenge is, am I steadfast? Am I immovable? Am I always, all the time, working for the Lord? Because, as Jesus said, there's a time coming. He called it night, when the time of work is over. Now, that applies to me and you, but it also applies to the people that we're praying for their soul. Because the time will come when we don't have an opportunity to work with them anymore. I hope something I've said tonight has stimulated you to make a challenge to yourself to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. The invitation song has been mentioned. If anyone needs to come, won't you come as we stand and sing that song?